Father, we thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity once again to come together as brothers and sisters and God, to tell you how beautiful you are, how much we love you. Father, you are the one that put this song in our heart. God, you have done that through giving us your son, Jesus Christ. And God, the more that we think about this miracle and how gracious you are to us, Father, it pours out in the form of song because we love you so much. Thank you, God, for all that you have given us. Thank you for seeing our sin, but yet still sending your son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us, to die for us, and to rise again. Father, we love you. And now, God, as we open up your word for each and every one of us, God, we pray that you would be at work in our hearts. God, I pray that for my friends here. I pray that each and every one of us that, God, we ask that your spirit would be communicating to them very uniquely, very intimately, right where they are at. And Father, we pray that you are changing lives this morning. The God, that we do not leave here the same as when we came in, that we'd be changed as we respond and receive your word. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Daniel chapter 6. I go ahead and turn there myself. So Daniel chapter 6, we're always going to be using the Bible, right? I don't know what in the world we would talk about if we weren't using the word of God. So this morning, we're going to continue on in Daniel 6. I want to say this real quick, that if you're somewhat of a student of the book of Daniel, you know this, but Daniel 6 to Daniel 7, where we're going to go next week, the entire book is going to feel like it takes a big turn. And the reason for that is because it does. Daniel 1 through 6, it's a lot about the life of Daniel, ultimately about God, right? We know every book of the Bible is ultimately about God. But 1 through 6 is a lot of the story of Daniel and his friends. But then when you get to Daniel 7, it takes a unique kind of change in the sense of there's going to be a lot of prophecy about the end times. And so he's going to be interpreting, he's going to be explaining prophecy that was not just for the day, 600 BC. It was not just for his day, but it's also for our day and even looking into the future. The book of Daniel and Revelation, if you didn't know, they go together like a hand in glove. A lot of the prophecy that you see in the book of Daniel, you see fulfilled and talked about in the book of Revelation. It's amazing to see that. So I do want to share that with you, but as we think specifically about this chapter, I'm going to read this for us. I want to remind you of this, and this kind of sets the stage for Daniel chapter 6. One of the things that I want you to be reminded of is this. You and I are living in a Babylonian culture. It's what the Bible tells us. It even talks about in the book of Revelation, a sense of a Babylonian culture that is in power, even in the end times. We live in a Babylonian culture, which means we live in a culture that is totally opposed to the things of God. That's what the Babylonian culture means. It's in rebellion to God and all his ways. And so one of the things that the devil wants to do, and we still believe in a literal devil, right? That one of the things the devil wants to do is he wants to get you in everyday life to compromise your faith so that you're really no threat to him. That's what the devil wants to do. How is he doing this week? He wants to get you and I so assimilated into our American culture that people really can't tell the difference between you as an American, everyone else, and a true radical follower of Jesus Christ. That's what the devil wants to do. And the reason why he wants to do that in your life is so that you're on the sidelines. You're no threat to him. Why am I saying that? Well, because that's one of the major themes in Daniel. And as we're about to read Daniel chapter 6, that's what the devil was trying to do to Daniel. He wanted him to shut up. He wanted, honestly, to kill him. Because Daniel was a faithful man. He was in a Babylonian culture. And he wouldn't shut up. He, time and time again, he took a stand for God. And we're going to see right here how much the evil one hates that. So, with that said, let me go ahead and read the word of God, Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. And one of the things to keep in mind is we have, we're switching empires from Daniel chapter 5 to chapter 6. You know that if you were here last week, Now we are now in the Mede and Persian Empire, no longer the Babylonian Empire. Belshazzar, the writing was on the wall for him. He didn't repent, and a new empire came in and took over. And that's what we're going to be seeing in chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. It's stunning, stunning verse. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Verse 6, then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew, listen to this, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had entrusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So, yes, we need to explore Daniel chapter 6 and try to understand what's going on here. On one level, right, we get the facts. If I ask you just to give me a summary of this story, I'm sure that all of us could do it. But it might surprise you some of the implications of this on our daily life. So again, I've already told you that there's been a turnover from the empires, right? From the Babylonians to the Medes and the Persians. This shouldn't have been a surprise to anyone, right? Shouldn't have been a surprise because Daniel, decades earlier, had prophesied that this would happen, right? He told the predecessors that this is going to happen, but just like people do, they forgot the word of the Lord. They forgot the prophecy. At this point in time, we've talked about the fact that when Daniel first came to Babylon, he was about how old? 13, 14 years old, right? And so we were amazed a 14-year-old can be so faithful to God in such a godless culture. We're amazed by that. And this morning, we kind of say the same thing. Now we think about him in his old age. He's 80 or 90 years old. Listen, he was still serving God full time. I want to say that again. He was 80 or 90 years old, and he was still serving the Lord full time. So what that meant is Daniel understood however many days God is going to give him, however many days it is, he is going to keep serving the Lord. He doesn't take time off. He's always has that mindset, something for us to learn in our culture today. So one of the challenges that we are up against is the same challenge that Daniel was up against, and it's this. We want to follow Jesus. I believe many of you would say that. But the problem is that we want to stay comfortable at the same time. I'll say that again. We want to follow Jesus, and of course we know Daniel. That's where he's pointing to us, to Jesus. We'll see that at the end of our time together. He's a type of Jesus, pointing to Jesus. But for you and I, we would say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow God like Daniel did. You think about Daniel and his friends, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were the men. We don't know where Daniel was at the time. Daniel wasn't thrown into the fiery furnace. His friends were. But his friends were thrown into the fiery furnace. Why? Because they wouldn't bow to the false image, right? They wouldn't do it. And so here we are, and it's Daniel. And think about this just for a moment. We're going to talk about prayer. But he would rather be eaten alive by lions than stop praying. You ever thought about it that way? He would rather be thrown into a den of lions than to not pray. Does that make us a bit uncomfortable? Maybe it should. I mean, you see his devotion to that, and we come back to it. So Daniel and his friends were, it's not figurative. It's not a metaphor for them. I mean, they were quite literally willing to die for their faith. Aren't we called to ask? Aren't we commanded as we come to Jesus to give up everything for him? Isn't that the call to follow Jesus? It is. We read these words, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So what I want to remind us of is this, is that God, Jesus, is not primarily calling us to a life of ease and comfort. And I'll just go ahead and say it now, that Christianity and comfort, they don't really work all that well together. If you find that that's really kind of what's driving you, you want a comfortable, if you want a safe life, you very quickly are going to find yourself at odds with following Jesus because he doesn't always take you into places that are comfortable. Amen? Amen? He doesn't always take you into places that are comfortable. I would imagine that for many of us right now, one of the things that God wants you to do is to get out of your comfort zone. He wants you to realize that you've been placed where you're at to live for him, to be a mouthpiece for him. He wants you to step out in faith and to live for him. Will you do it? Not just to be a comfortable Christian, but will you actually do it and follow Christ? So here's the question we need to answer, and we're going to find all our answers in Daniel chapter 6. What might the cost of discipleship look like today? So we're talking about the cost of discipleship. Something that Jesus was all about, right? Making disciples. So what might the cost of discipleship look like? And well, where are we going to find the answer? We're going to find all the answers in Daniel chapter 6. The first thing that I will say is this, and this is begins to be rather apparent. It's a radical commitment to God. It's a radical commitment to God. Look at verse 10 again. This is you probably caught me how I slowed down when we got to 6. When we got to verse 10, when we first read it. But this needs to be something that kind of stands out to you. Verse 10, we read this. So Daniel had just found out, I'm going to throw you to the lions if you pray. And what was Daniel going to do? Here it is. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open before toward Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Well, because we know that when King Solomon dedicated the temple, that there is talk of praying towards Jerusalem as the temple was devoted and dedicated to God. And most likely this is something that Daniel would be thinking about even as he's in Babylon or the Mede and Persian Empire at this time, is still looking towards Jerusalem, longing to return to the holy city. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to his God as he had done previously. So as you think about what he's doing, it really should strike you as quite bold, right? He was just warned, if you do this, I mean, I'm going to throw you into the lion's den. It's going to mean the end of your life. And so Daniel, even though he's an older man, he has the mindset that what he is there for, what he is in his culture for, is first and foremost to serve God. And if it means death, well, then so be it. He's willing to die for it. Comfortable Christianity is not Christianity. Comfortable Christianity is not Christianity. Brothers and sisters, it's one of the things, we're not fighting against persecution, right? Sometimes like the little things that happen in our culture, we like, I hear people, I'm being persecuted. I'm like, oh, no, you're not. You know, like, I mean, like this is persecution. Now, maybe that's going to happen in the future. Daniel knew what persecution was. And even if it meant his death, he was willing to keep following God. Let me ask you a question. What are those areas in your life right now that God is calling you out of your comfort zone? Think about it for a minute. What are the areas of your life where, like, if you're alone with God, the Spirit would tell you, you need to start moving out in obedience? Will you be obedient? So the first character is a radical commitment to God. As you think about Daniel, right, we're like, hopefully we can all agree that's true about Daniel. If you can't say that about Daniel, I don't know who else you could say it about. But the other thing that we find true about him, and this is a surprising primary theme in this chapter, is prayer. Prayer. The other leaders, and just in case you were wondering, the other leaders, why they did this whole strategy against Daniel is probably, the text doesn't say, but it's probably because of his tremendous influence, right? Remember the first beginning of the verses there in chapter 6? It talked about how Daniel had risen to power. Then it mentions these other leaders. So most likely they were like, I don't like this Jewish boy. Right? Like having all this power. And so they wanted to sideline him. And so they came up with this 30 days. No one can pray to anyone else but to you, Darius. So as I've already said, we do want to think about the conclusion that Daniel came to. So he knew that he had to have known what they were up to, right? He had to have known, but there he is, and he's been given this order that if you keep praying, you're going to be thrown to the lions, and he does it anyway. Have you guys ever wondered, like maybe out of the 100 times that you've heard this story, have you ever wondered why he didn't just shut the windows and like go into an inner portion of his room and pray? Have you ever wondered that? Like, Daniel, heads up, man. You can pray with the window shut and you can still live, right? Have you ever wondered that? Now, again, I have to acknowledge that the text doesn't tell us why he didn't do that. I mean, we all know that. It doesn't tell us. But let me tell you, sanctified imagination, what I think was going on is this, is that Daniel knew why he was there in Babylon. And he knew that these people really were agents of the devil working to end his life. I believe he knew this, that they wanted to shut him up. They wanted to get him out of the way. Certainly the evil one did that. But what Daniel knew is this, is he didn't want to show them that he feared anyone else except for God. He knew that God had placed him in that moment, at that time, in that culture, so he could be a bright witness for God, right? He knew that. So he would go there and he would pray 3 times a day because he wanted to be a witness no matter what. What a wonderful story and what a testimony he is for us as we think about living in our world and our culture today. Before I move on, just say this about prayer. You know, I've been talking about prayer, and I believe that this is something that God wants us to grow in as a church. I think that what we will find is, if I could speak very candidly with you, I think what we will find, New Life Church, is that there's only so far we will go if we're not a praying church. I think there's only so far we will go. And a lot of it will just be kind of man-made effort is what it will be. It'll be a lot of cool strategies. It'll be a lot of cool book studies. It'll be a lot of cool retreats. But if we're not praying, at the end of the day, we're going to look back and say, we didn't do all that God had called us to do. And so what I believe is this, is that God is calling us to be like Daniel, right? I mean, where did Daniel get all of his strength from? You kind of think it might have been prayer, right? He was a man so dedicated to prayer. And so my question for you is, will we partner together as a church to say, I want to become a man, a woman, a young person of prayer? Tonight, 6 o'clock, we're going to be getting together to do just that. Here's another characteristic: grateful. He was prayerful and he was grateful. In verse 10 that I've already read twice now, we find that Daniel was praying and he was pouring out gratitude. Now, again, if you're thinking about the text, then what you would ask is what is he grateful for? He's not grateful about, there's a lot of things he doesn't have to be grateful about. So if you were a friend to Daniel, kind of like Job's friends were friends to him, maybe you would have said something like this. I wouldn't encourage it. Maybe you would have said, Daniel, man, you're like 90 years old. You've never been married. You don't have any kids. You're not living in your homeland. And you're about to be thrown to the lions because you keep praying like an idiot. Daniel, what do you have to be grateful for? What in the world do you have to be grateful for? You and I have to ask that question. You want to know why that's so important? It's because I know this happens to all of us. So often, our gratitude is based on our circumstances. Are you miserable this morning? You know what I can tell you is, it's not because of who God is that you're miserable. Daniel was about to be thrown into the lion's den, and he's praying and thanking God. Your happiness, your joy has nothing to do with how your job is going, has nothing to do with how your family is going. It all has to do with understanding who God is. He's sovereign, he's faithful, he's always with you, and he will never leave you. Daniel knew that. So even as he's on the cusp of being thrown into the lion's den, he's just pouring out gratitude to God. Do you want to be a light in this culture for Jesus? You won't be able to do it without gratitude. Think about this. So if you and I are walking around kind of miserable all the time, what kind of advertisement are you for the kingdom of God? Right? Like, are there people in your life who are, in my life too, who are looking at you and saying, I've got to have that? Like, his life is so difficult, but there's a joy there. There's something about him and his faith, or her and about her faith. There's something about her that I want that. That is so contagious, isn't it? Daniel had that. He didn't have a lot, but his happiness was not grounded in his circumstances. It was in the fact that his God was a covenant, faithful God. Are you grateful for all that Jesus Christ has done for you? Here's the fourth thing that I want to talk about. Daniel had a theology of suffering. Daniel had a theology of suffering. You're wondering, well, okay, if you've been around for a while, you know I've talked about this before, and this is connected to what I just said about gratitude. What's a theology of suffering? A theology of suffering is this, is it means that you so study the Word of God that you know that no matter how much you pursue God, that difficult times will come. You know that the Word of God does not promise you that you will always have what you want, right? Prosperity gospel. You know that the Word of God doesn't promise you that, but you know that no matter how life is going, God is faithful. He's good. He's with you always. And so no matter what the circumstances are, you can always find joy in the middle of it because of who Jesus is, and he's there with you. Do you have that kind of faith in who Jesus Christ is? Is that kind of theology kind of emanating from you as other people encounter you? If not, if you don't have that, then yes, you and I are going to be miserable. How are you impacted, brother and sister? How are you impacted when things don't go your way? When people mistreat you, when you experience suffering and trials, I know it sounds hard to believe, but you can actually experience joy. Fifth thing is this. Characteristic that we see in Daniel that is the cost to discipleship, an aspect of it is integrity and personal holiness. Look at verse 22, and I could actually, if I had time, point you to a number of verses. But verse 22, we read this. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. And now we also know that earlier in the chapter that Daniel had people who were like, take it in the year 2021. Like, if you want to find the dirt on someone, what do? You go to Google, right? Like, you type in this person's name, you Google it. And then the next thing you know, you find some kind of picture from when they were in high school. You're like, oh, look, see, I found the dirt on them. Like, so today, it's like it's so easy to find things. And most of us would say, man, if we had people really working hard to find the dirt on our life, that they probably could find it. You couldn't with Daniel. Like they were, now again, I'm not saying he's perfect. Let's be clear about that. Only Jesus Christ was perfect. But they were looking into his life, and you know what they found? He's a righteous man. It probably angered them. It's like, we can't, he's not being dishonest somewhere, and he's faithful to his God. They were looking into his life, and they were finding that he was honestly seeking after God. So brothers and sisters, for you and I to be what God is calling us to be, he is calling you to be a man and a woman of integrity. I just want to ask you this, and this is something that, again, God has been impressing upon my heart. This morning, would you say that there's an area of your life that you haven't turned over to Jesus? Are you here this morning, and as soon as you heard me say that, your mind went to that area? Your mind went to that habit. Your mind went to that bitterness. Your mind went to that thing. What I want to tell you is this, is that for you and I, if we're saying we want to follow Jesus, what he's asking you and I to do is to give up everything, right? We can't act like we can have Jesus and follow him into this culture, and then we can still have these sins that are hindering us. This morning, I believe what God wants to ask you to do is to lay it down. What do you have to lose? Those habits that are honestly making you miserable, what do you have to lose? I'll tell you right now what my concern is. My concern is that some of you just heard that. You have serious areas in your life that need to be repented of, and you don't feel any urgency about it whatsoever. That's my concern. Because what can happen is we're so used to sitting right here. We're so used to sitting here and just allowing it to go right over us. And so we think, man, maybe it's okay. Bad things haven't happened to me yet. But if you and I, let's look at the positive side of it. If you and I want to know Jesus, if we want a fresh relationship with him, what it is going to mean is you have to give him everything. Everything. Those sins that are hindering you, you have to be willing to give them up. Are you ready to do that this morning? Why not at the end of the service, why not come to the front? And when everyone else is talking, you're just over here on your knees and you're asking God to work in your life in a brand new way because you know you desperately need it. Tell him to come back and get you in a couple hours. Why not? The last one is this. Salt and light, live as salt and light. Hopefully I'm not superimposing our vision as a church into the text. That would be eisegesis, right? Not exegesis. Hopefully I'm not doing that. But living as salt and light, I think it's faithful to the text. Daniel was there. God placed him strategically in a very dark, dark culture so he could be a witness for him. Our vision as a church is to be deeply rooted in six counties. And what we want you to know is wherever you have been placed, God sovereignly in your house, where you live, in your workplace, he has placed you right there to be a witness for him. So I just want to ask you, are you living into that? Like, are you seeing the people that God is bringing into your life and everyday life as sovereign appointments for you to be a witness for him, to invest in their lives as Christ has invested in you? How does this story point us to Jesus? Well, we always talk about that no matter what book of the Bible we're in. I already told you that Daniel is a type of Jesus, and I believe that's true. Let me explain. Daniel was sent into a broken and wicked culture. So is Jesus. Daniel lived with integrity, so did Jesus. Jesus, of course, was perfect. Daniel was unfairly accused, so was Jesus. Daniel emerged from the den alive. Jesus emerged from the tomb alive. Daniel is pointing us to our ongoing need for Jesus Christ. If you really have been processing this morning, one of the conclusions that you could come to is, I can't do any of this on my own, right? And you can't. You can't. You can't do any of this in your own power. You know what you need? You need the help of Jesus Christ. You need to put your eyes upon Jesus Christ, the one who loves you. He knows everything that's going on. Nothing is hidden. And he loves you. And he wants to extend grace to you. So I'm going to pray for us and ask you to bow your heads. The worship team will come up here. And again, what I want to remind you of is this, is I'm going to pray and we're going to sing a song in response. But I just want to tell you this, that if you feel like you right now that God is working your heart, and maybe there's some areas of your life like, man, I don't know why I'm still holding on to this. It's just killing me. It's making me unhappy. What I would ask you to do, brothers and sisters, is leave it here this morning. Why not give it over to Jesus? He knows all about it. The life that he wants to give you is so much more than any of the stuff that you could give up. And so whatever it takes this morning, leave it here. Leave it in the hands of Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross. At the end of the service, I'll be up here. I'd love to pray with you. There will be other prayer ministers who would love to pray with you. So I just want to encourage you to take this moment. If you're maybe feeling just that prick of the Holy Spirit at work in your heart, that's such a wonderful gift. Again, my fear is that maybe we don't even feel that. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. God, we thank you for your word. Father, you know I would have nothing to say without your word. And God, honestly, I wouldn't get up in front of people without your word. It's the only reason I want to communicate. And so, Father, I pray right now for us, God. I pray that, yes, we would be thinking about Daniel, but ultimately, Daniel would be pointing us to Jesus. that God, that you would fix our eyes upon Jesus, that we would know several truths, that he is holy, he is perfect, and he died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose again 3 days later. And God, so help us even now just to lay down the things that are hindering us, things that are getting in the way and they're causing so much pain. And Father, may we lay them down. And then, God, I pray that your Spirit would be at work in a powerful way in each one of us, giving us life and joy that we've been missing out on. Father, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.